Amen. Well, could you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12? And I just want to say I commend you tonight. I'm proud of you tonight. Because it looks pretty good to have eight fellowshipping churches get together and try to help and encourage souls. Amen. Driving on the way to Indianapolis, I go to college in Indianapolis. Don't live on campus, just commute back and forth an hour and 10 minutes one way. And I was on my journey there. Young people, God put you on my heart. Preachers know what I'm talking about. He put you on my heart. Now, I'm not always a big crier, I'll be honest with you. And anytime I can cry, woo, God pour it on me. I'm ready for it. Because it's just hard to get me to cry sometimes. And I was on my way to Indianapolis. And the Holy Ghost just began to do the praying. It's like a river flowed out of my soul for you. I have good news to bring. And that is why I sing all my joys with you, I share. Because I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going to go sailing through. The pastor said tonight we are living in the greatest time we have ever seen. I'm only 21, I'll be 22 at the end of this month. And these are certainly the greatest times for the church. Breakthrough with the full power and the fulfilling of the promises that Jesus told his disciples. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. Bible says simply, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John chapter 10, verse 10, very common, I'm sure you can quote it with me tonight. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'd like to preach to you, young people, on life. For my generation. Life. For your generation. John, according to John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, doesn't he? And he goes through and he talks about how that we have to be connected to the source of the sap in order to be alive in God's church. And he gives them instructions concerning how they should live their lives through Christ. One man said that all things come from God the Father, through Christ the Son, by the Holy Ghost. And if you're going to get life, I mean real life, and I'm going to explain what I mean by this term life just a little bit. But when you get real, real life, you will only receive strength from heaven, from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, how do we know that we are living in His love? Well, I'm going to turn here and tell you, brother, you're about to preach my message, at least the beginning of it tonight when you got up, Brother Helton. You about did it. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In His love. My friends, Do you realize how great the love of God really is? We live in America and we sit in this beautiful church and we say we know what the love of God is, and we do. But when we have friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that are persecuted for their faith, and they walk miles through paths and through briar branches and through thorns and across the savannah just to hear the word of God, my heart is pricked. Lord, do I really live in your love the way that I should live in your love? Beloved, would you think about these things tonight? So we know that we are living in His love. I'll try to hurry here. We know that we are living in His love because we keep His commandments. But if we abide in His love, we also bear much fruit. According to John 15, verse 5. You can write it down if you want to read it. But what if we don't abide in Jesus? What if we're not living the life according to the Scriptures? We're not keeping His commandments. We're not loving God. What happens? According to John 15, verse 6, we're cast forth. We're withered. We're gathered. And we're cast into the fire and burned. Well, as my subject tonight is life for my generation, first I must talk about the culture of death that we live in, young people. Amen, we are living in a culture of death, as I have heard it called and as I like to call it. So I want to talk about a few things tonight that show that life is not present. First thing I want to talk about is depression. Got these from God on my knees. According to the Psychiatric Times, October 1999, depression, they say, is possibly caused by trauma in childhood, which includes emotional, physical abuse, yelling or threats of abuse, neglect, possibly the neglect of two parents not being at home with their children, criticism, inappropriate or unclear expectations, having goals set way too high. Are people put in front of us and say, we have to achieve these, and when we don't, we get discouraged about it. Stay with me just a little longer here. It's possibly caused by conflict in the family, divorce, family addictions, violence in the family, neighborhood. And look at this. Even the Psychiatric Times of October 1999 said this, possibly the neighborhood or the television creates depression. Racism and poverty. Now, if you'll stay with me, just fasten your seatbelts and stay seated for some statistics tonight. I'd like to give you these. I don't always agree with statistics, but these grip my heart, Pastor. Depressive disorders affect approximately 18.8 million American adults, or about 9.5% of the U.S. population age 18 and older, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Now, if you're depressed, I'm going to put this right in here. That doesn't mean you've got a mental health problem. If you're having problems with discouragement and struggling, it does not mean you have problems with mental health. Oh no, oh no. Major depressive disorder is the leading cause of disability in the U.S. for ages 15 to 44, according to the World Health Report in 2004. Major depressive disorder affects approximately 14.8 million American adults, according to the Archives of General Psychiatry, and 6.7% in the U.S. population 18 and older. Like I said, stay seated just a moment. Now, how does this affect our young people? How are those that we really love affected by this? I want to read this to you. My heart got stirred. According to a study again from the Psychiatric Services, April 2004, preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants. The rate of increase of depression amongst children is an astounding 23% per annual year. Back in 2002, according to Harvard University, 15% of the population of most developed countries struggles with severe depression, according to BBC. In 2001, 30% of women are depressed. Men's figures were previously thought to only be half that, but now new estimates are higher. I don't want to get you caught up all on statistics, but just stay with me. 54% of people believe depression is a personal weakness. Well, I'll tell you, I brought hope tonight. I brought hope tonight. Thank God for hope in Jesus. Because if it was not for Jesus, I'd be in hell tonight. But His love, my friend, young people, if you could only realize how much He cares for you, how much Christ loves you and loves your friends that you go to school with, and how we have an obligation to reach those in need. According to the WHO report on mental illness, released October 4, 2001, depression will be the second largest killer after heart disease by 2020. And studies show depression is a contributor factor to fatal coronary disease. My friend, we live in a culture of death that is needing life. Now, I don't want to stop just at depression, but I also like to look at drug abuse. According to a household survey, I know it may not affect you directly, but it sure affects your neighbors. And God stirred my heart, somebody in here struggling with something. And again, I bring hope. According to the household survey conducted by the federal government Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services in 1999, an estimated 14.8 million Americans currently use illicit drugs, representing 6.7% of the population, get this, 12 and older. Marijuana is the most common illicit drug used by 75% of people reporting illicit substance use. Approximately 43% of the population, I got all the references for this, if you'd like to see me after church, see where I got these from. Approximately 43% of the population use other illicit drugs. Get this, when this survey was done, 4.1% of 12-year-olds surveyed had used illicit drugs within the past month. Among youth 12 to 17 years of age, 10.9% had used an illicit drug within the 30 days prior to survey, 12 to 17. Among high school seniors, 1 in 4 students report using illegal drugs on a monthly basis, and over 8% report daily use. Now I'm going to move on to physical abuse. Approximately 1 in 5 female high school students report being physically abused by someone they date in 2001, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association. 58% of rape victims report being raped between the ages of 12 to 24, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 2002. 57% of teens know someone who's been physically or verbally abusive in a dating relationship, according to 2005 conducted by the Teenage Research Unlimited. We'll stop there, go on to suicide. In 2004, 32,439 people died by suicide in the U.S. I hope it's better than that now. More than 90% of people who kill themselves have a depressive disorder or substance abuse disorder in 1995. Some of these are old statistics. Like I said, I hope they're so much better now. 4 times as many men as women die by suicide. However, women attempt suicide 2 to 3 more times as often as men in the group of those that have been studied. Now, friends, now I need to start preaching to you. Sometimes we like to classify different types of disorders, don't they? We like to give them names and put them in categories and place them in different shelves. And we give pills to certain ones according to what class they fall in. But God stirred my heart There is life for this generation that's living in a culture of death. And young people, you have the answer. You have the solution to the problem. And if you don't tell them about God's great mercy, they'll go to hell. Christ gave us a commission to reach those that don't have the answer. And in this culture of death, oh, how my heart is stirred to stop classifying different types of sin. If you're in, and tonight, if you feel like you're in a depressive state or discouraged state, my friend, tonight there is great solution on these altars. And the whole part of this service, I don't know if you've seen it tonight. I don't know if you've seen it tonight, but the whole part of this service has been pointing to this altar. Right here is where the cross points. Right here is where the base of the cross is established. It's on the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we like to classify different types of maybe what we should all just classify as dead people. Dead people. Oh God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now listen at these list of dead people used to be, as I may call them. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators," dead people used to be. "Idolaters," dead people used to be. "Adulterers," dead people used to be. "Effeminate," that's a man that acts like a woman, dead people used to be. "Abusers of themselves with mankind," that's a sodomite, dead people used to be. "Nor thieves, nor covetous," someone that desires somebody else's belongings with a great jealousy and envy. "Nor drunkards," dead people used to be. "Revilers," dead people used to be. "Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These were all dead people that used to be dead. But now they are in the Corinthian church because a man named Jesus brought great life to a hopeless situation. I'd like to tell you tonight that you don't have to be a dead person used to, amen, a dead person presently, but you can be a dead person used to be. You can be a person that's alive with the power of God's Spirit, with the power of His presence, with the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, when we look at this generation that I'm looking at, amen, outside these walls, you young people are the only hope that they'll ever have. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There is great life, and it's living waters, brother. Appreciate you obeying God tonight. There are living waters around this altar for you, young people, for you and your struggles and your problems. We all have problems. Don't be afraid about your problems. Sometimes it's because of your environment. Sometimes it's because of our own. Somehow we get so used to where we're at. No, I have before. But church, have you ever heard the phrase, "I'm not living, just existing"? I like to say God is calling the church to not just surviving, but thriving. Not fighting the world, but lighting the world on fire with God's witnesses. Yes, we do fight the devil. Better believe I do. Amen. Every day of my life. Amen. But we must not fight the world, but we must light it on fire with the power of God's Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm going to send you into the world. You're going to be witnesses unto me, up in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." But what did He say first? He said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." What we need is a fire. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God. We need to stop borrowing another day of God's time, but sorrowing over the sins of this generation and nation. Stop borrowing God's breath. Stop borrowing God's time and start sorrowing over the sins of our nation. Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Tonight, church, I'm lost in His love. Hallelujah. I'm lost in His amazing grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yeah, I'm going to get to, amen, where I'm going. So we know we're keeping His commandments after we love Him. So first, Christ's command is to witness. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto him, oh God, help me tonight. Jesus spake, came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I had a speech class in college, and God opened a grand opportunity for me to witness to my classroom. And in this class where I was sitting, I had one that was caught up in a Gothic culture. And I think it's called game playing or something like this in the Gothic culture. And God opened a great door for me to tell how Jesus went through Jerusalem and was led to the place called Mount Golgotha and died on a tree and died and suffered for the sins of His people. And God will open up doors for you wherever you are, to be a light and a fire in a world so dark. Love one another. This is another one of Christ's commands, and we know that we're keeping them, or we're loving Him if we keep them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So we need to stop the clicks and light our wicks with the God's Holy Spirit. So again, who loves God? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So first we need to work. We need to witness. We also need to wait for the return of the Savior. Wait for the return of the Master. In many places he said, watch and pray. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said in Mark 13:37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So not only do we need to watch, we need to warn this generation of the coming wrath to come. But you can't escape eternal, amen, destruction and death through the blood of Christ. There is no blood, and it is my conviction that there is. You can disagree with me, I don't have any problem with it. It is my opinion that there is no blood in hell save the blood that drips from the preacher's hands. For according to Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Blood is life, and blood brings ransom and deliverance from sin. And there is no life in hell. They are dead, but they are yet alive. They keep burning, but they can't burn up. But we have an answer. We have an escape route. We have a plan. The Holy Ghost gave us a strategy. And He said to tarry until you be endued with power from the Holy Ghost. Tonight, God wants to do something special in your life. Wherever you're seated tonight, through the love of Jesus, we can be saved. I'd like to ask you a few questions, young people. If Christ died for our sins, would He not do everything possible to see that His death was not in vain for as many people as possible? If He shed His blood, would He not also impart to us the life in that precious blood? Talking about life for my generation in this great culture of death. If Christ has authored our faith and gave us a faith to believe in the Savior that died on the cross, unlike so many unbelievers who do not believe He has the power to save from sin. But if we believe in His work of His cross and His death and His resurrection, will not He finish His work among His church and finish it in His own good pleasure? So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you, maybe if you're not if you're experienced cold with God tonight, I'd like to tell you and encourage you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe that your sin was bad enough to put Christ on the tree, bad enough to send you to hell and me to hell. Believe that Christ is good enough to save to the uttermost. Believe that Christ enables us to live without sin through mortification and death of the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. Now faith without works is dead. So if you do believe that and you don't want to be a dead person, faith without works is dead. You will turn from your sin by the grace of God, and God will get alongside of you and help you out of your struggle, out of your problem, out of your circumstance. If you will take one step, He will take two. So if you believe in Christ and you want to have works that follow faith, live without sin, hate sin, and by God's grace, live in His joy. March 3rd, 2008, 4:07 a.m. Holy Ghost, never, ever, hardly ever have this do to me. Brother Helton, God is my witness. Holy Ghost is my witness. Holy Ghost hardly ever wakes me up in the early morning like this. God gave me these words, and I'm going to deliver them to you tonight as it's closely approaching 9 o'clock. Listen to this. In His wondrous name, in His wondrous name, thank You, Father, for His wondrous name. Thank You, Father, for Jesus' wondrous name. Angels bow at His wondrous name, ready for obedience at His wondrous name. Take His word and believe, sword and shield now receive. Love Jesus through eternity in His wondrous name. Time is short, take your plows, sow God's word in every ground. God will bless if in Him you be found, in His visitation, soon to be now, in His wondrous name. Take charge, young people, and raid the devil's camp in His wondrous name. Pray down heaven's door to Christ. Amen. Is waiting to fill our lamp. Let us fall down to the floor in His wondrous name. Pray on church in His wondrous name. Souls will be reborn. I like to tell all the churches in the local area, you just get ready for the power of God's mighty Spirit. He's going to move in your churches. He's going to save souls among your own family. I said, take charge and raid the devil's camp. Hallelujah. Souls are about ready to be reborn. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray on church in His wondrous name. Souls will be reborn. If for the lost we search through the love of His warmth, there is still time to harvest wheat. If we fall down at the Master's feet, don't delay, so much is at stake. Souls are waiting. Please don't say it's too late. With the trumpet the church shall rise. To Christ's bosom His church will fly. Have oil in your lamps. If you don't, go by. The truth is free, but your consecration will not be. In His wondrous name, Jesus. Pray for souls on bended knees, bow low. Fire from on high, fall from the sky. Take child and king, servant to sing. The fire abides, the fire abides. In His wondrous name, in His wondrous name. God is great and greatly to be praised. Lift up your hands, to Him be raised. Moving mountains, breaking up fountains, in the midst of His sanctuary be raised. This is too precious to lose. I cannot afford to snooze. To seek Your face, Lord, that I choose. In His wondrous name, in His wondrous name. Ministers of His, preach His word. From His truth, begin to learn. Call for souls, for them do yearn. And the Lord will bless thee all in turn. In His wondrous name, in His wondrous name. Acts 16, I am so trying to hurry. Oh, hallelujah. Been waiting to preach this message, brother. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. Oh, amen. Hang with me just a little bit longer. Young people, we're going to have a good time around the altar tonight. I said we're going to have a good time around the altar. We're going to have a good time in His house tonight. Hallelujah. Because the fire abides. Fire abides. Acts 16, there was a man about ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas in the jailhouse. Singing at midnight. This jailer was about ready to take his own life. But what did Paul say? He cried with a loud voice. Forgive me for just a moment. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. I'd like to tell you, amen, friends, tonight, you're all intact. It's not over for you. There are many more of God's spiritual blessings getting ready to be poured out on you. Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. I'm finishing here soon. This is the culture of death we live in. My generation says there are no absolute truths. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My generation says, do what feels right. Christ says, do what is right. My generation says, in this war, but it's okay to kill your babies. Christ says, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes, oh God. My generation is so puzzled because they don't have the missing piece of Christ. And without Christ, there is no peace. It is my generation where last year nearly 30 souls were shot to death in Virginia Tech. Because somebody was living in a culture of death. What are we going to do about it, church? What are we going to do about it? It was this year where 4 to 5 people were slaughtered at the gun in Northern Illinois University. It was a young man that opened fire around a church organization in Colorado. It is my generation that is being led to the land called know nothing but feel everything. But don't fear, I say again, don't do yourself any harm because we are all here. Amen. Look around. We're here. I said we're here tonight. Amen. Oh, could you stand with me, church? Amen. We're getting ready for the altar maybe. Amen. As they get a song, maybe I'll turn this over. However you want to do it tonight. Amen. But I'd like to say Jeremiah was shut up in the prison. Jeremiah, listen to this. Jeremiah was shut up in the court of the prison. He was down in the gutter of discouragement. But the second time, the word of the Lord came to him. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Church, keep your eyes on the skies, because the blessings are about to fly. Amen. Oh, do not hurt yourself. Just cry to Jesus. Don't be depressed in your prison garb. Just run to Jesus. There is hope for life, and there is reason for living, and His name is Jesus. Paul told that man who was about to kill himself, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He was going to be delivered. He's going to be protected. Amen. As I get this song tonight, I'd like to end with this. In South America, there's a wind that blows among the marshes in South America, and it's charged with the germs of intermittent fever. And often the most deadly cholera accompanies the stillness and the quietness that's in the atmosphere in these times. A storm is the best purifier for a still, dark, dreary wind that brings this feverish cholera to South America. And from the marshy places of our lower nature, you feel tempted and tried in your quietness and in your loneliness and in your feeling of do nothing. But I'd like to say that the great preventative tonight is a soul-stirring breath of the Holy Ghost. And when He comes, He'll come like a mighty rushing wind, and the whole atmosphere of the life will be purified. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What you need is a Spirit to give life to these words. Paul said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I'd like to tell you tonight, young people, could you lift your hand to heaven? Say, God, give it life. Let it live in me. Oh, Lord, breathe the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. John 20, 21 through 22. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so He's sending you, young people. I don't know, maybe you feel a call to preach, or you feel a call to do something extra for God. I'd like to encourage you. He's getting ready to breathe on you, because after He told them that peace on you, after He told them that I'm sending you, He gave them power to go. Hallelujah. He said, and He saith unto them, He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If you lift the hand of heaven, I'm turning this over to the pastor now, or whoever's in charge. Amen.